Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So devotees, today, as part of our build-up to Gaura Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya on Sunday, we will go through a pastime, if there's time, two, but at least one, of Lord Chaitanya from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9. And what it is the story of Lord Chaitanya and Venkata Bhatta, who was a Sri Vaishnav Brahmin, Pujari at the temple of Lord Ranganath in Rangakshetra in Tamil Nadu, South India. And the basic point is that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences completely, whereas Lord Narayan is his expansion. And although, of course, by our standards, he's just a most absolutely incredible personality, to put it mildly, but still Lord Narayan is in a lesser position than Lord Krishna. And the Sri Vaishnavs, they're South Indian Vaishnavs. The Sri Sampradaya, we're in the Brahma Sampradaya. Sri Sampradaya means from Lakshmi Devi. So the members of the Sri Sampradaya, including Venkata Bhatta, at least at this point, they accept Lakshmi Narayan as being the supreme forms of the Lord and his eternal consort. And they accept Krishna and Radha and Krishna as expansions of Lakshmi and Narayan. And in that way, being expansions, they accept them as being lesser than Radha, than Lakshmi and Narayan. That's the situation at the beginning here, and we'll go through this part of the chapter and we'll see how Lord Chaitanya addresses this whole question of who is really the original, most supreme personality of Godhead. We'll see how he addresses it. If there's time, there is included in the narration, actually it's a section in the narration of the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and Venkata Bhatta. So there's another pastime there, which is just, sort of unrelated, really, philosophically. But it's very nice, and if there's time, we'll go through that also at the end. All right. So, to begin then, I will read a verse. It is quoted in the course of this narration. It's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 9, verse 121. But it's actually originally a Srimad Bhagavatam verse. It's Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-60. Right, so let's read that verse. Nayam Sriyonga Unitantarate Prasada Swaryoshitam Nalina Gandarucham Kutonya Rasotsavesya Bujadanda Grihita Kanta Labda Shisham Yaudigad Rajasundarinam. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced around the neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world, nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, girls whose bodily luster and aroma exactly resemble the beauty and fragrance of lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women, who may be very, very beautiful according to material estimation. Yes. So, the gopis are on the highest level, higher than even Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. And what to speak of being higher than... Higher means in all respects, in consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, and just in personal nature, like personality and the type of person they are, how they interact and how they treat people like that. So the gopis are even higher than Lakshmi Devi, and in beauty too. In fact, they're just in a different, category, much higher category of beauty, even than Lakshmi Devi herself. And what to speak of the ladies who are just in the heavenly planets. The most beautiful ladies in the heavenly planets. You know, it's such a thing. There's an expectation or hope or whatever you might call it with ladies that they would be beautiful. Men don't have to be beautiful. If they're sort of handsome enough, that's pretty good. But beautiful, that's reserved for the ladies usually. So if a lady is lacking in beauty, it's a bit of a sort of let down. But for men, they dress. Anyway, let's not get into it too much. But the ladies in the heavenly planets, the most beautiful of the ladies in the heavenly planets, cannot compare to the gopis. They cannot even really compare to the goddess of fortune in Vaikuntha and her female associates. And what to speak of your ordinary, regular ladies from Chatsworth or anywhere, just planet Earth. Yeah. And it's not just beauty, of course, it's qualification in all the different types of ways. We mentioned personality like that. Okay, so that's the background. This verse, well, it appears in the course of the narration as Lord Chaitanya is explaining the position of the gopis to Venkatabhata, Actually, just let me mention, who is Venkatabhatta actually? Well, I mentioned he is Sri Vaishnava from Sri Rangam, Rangakshetra, which is a town, a substantial town, originally within the walls surrounding the Ranganath temple. It's spread out quite a bit since those days. But still in the center is this very big, biggest temple in India, the temple of Lord Ranganath. So Venkatabhatta is a Brahmin, one of the pujaris, actually pujari of Lakshmi Devi. And the family to this day, they're still there. They're very friendly, very nice. And they know what happened, but they've gone back to being Sri Vaishnavas. Venkatabhatta, you'll see Lord Chaitanya convinces him to become a Gaudiya Vaishnava, basically. But the family's gone back, even though they know very clearly that some members of their family 500 years ago, they stopped being like regular Sri Vaishnavas. So they're there. They're still worshipping Lakshmi Devi in her separate temple, in the temple complex there. And Venkatabhatta is the father of Gopalbhatta Goswami, of the six Goswamis. Gopal was there when Lord Chaitanya was staying with the family. Gopal was there. He got a lot of association with Lord Chaitanya. It's not specifically discussed in this chapter. Elsewhere it's discussed. And he served Lord Chaitanya very nicely and became very deeply attached to Lord Chaitanya. And when his father, Venkata, this Venkata here, when Venkatabhatta became a Gaudiya Vaishnava and accepted Radha and Krishna as higher and much higher than Lakshmi and Narayan, so Gopal, he was just Gopal at that time, he also took up Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And a little later on, after Lord Chaitanya leaves the area sometime later, while he's still young, maybe like a teenager or late teens or somewhere around 20 probably at the most, his parents gave him permission to go and join Lord Chaitanya, which he did. And then he became Gopalbhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, and just very, very great devotee, directly in our line. Although the family members, they went back to the old ways in due course. Yeah, so that's a little bit of the background. Lord Chaitanya is on his tour of South India. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, went to live in Jagannath Puri, was living there for some time, but then after a while, for different reasons, he chose to take a tour of South India, which he did for how many years? I forget. 8 years, I think, or a good several years. It was a major tour. He was just down there in South India. And then he came back to Puri, then he stayed practically the whole time, except for a couple of trips away here and there. Right, so Lord Chaitanya now, he has arrived in Sri Rangam, which is one of the great, and still is, one of the great pilgrimage sites of India. It's not on the same level as Tirupati, in terms of how many people go, but the temple's considerably bigger, and they do get plenty of people. They get plenty of people, and the deity of Lord Ranganath, reclining, lying down. You have to almost, there's just a small door. It's like, anyway, it's something like that. In order to see him, you have to kind of put your head through to see his feet, and then his head's up this way. And he's really amazing. So Lord Chaitanya arrived there. And, of course, Lord Chaitanya is a Brahmin in those terms. And he's a sannyasi in those terms, Varnashram terms, a sannyasi Brahmin. So he's a highly respectable person by anyone's standards. And Venkata Bhatta, as a member of one of the main Pujari families, he received Lord Chaitanya very nicely, and then he invited Lord Chaitanya not just to come for a meal, which, you know, is even now, but particularly in those days was very common, but to actually stay with him. It was the Chaturmasya, the 4 months of the rainy season. Means, what does it mean? It's like May, June, July, August. Lord Chaitanya stayed there for 4 months. So when Lord Chaitanya arrived, Venkata Bhatta invited the Lord with great respect to come and stay with him and his family, and initially brought Lord Chaitanya home. The house, well, of course, you know, 500 years later, I'm sure the house is different, but it's at the back. You go down through, I forget how many gates. There's 7 walls, one after the other. You go down through, I think it's about 4 or 5 walls, take a left, and down about 100 or a couple of hundred meters, something, on the right is their house. And on the left is their temple, which has Jagannath deities, which they say, you know, they say, were carved personally by Lord Chaitanya. Anyway, they're interesting looking, little, sort of more human than usual looking Jagannath deities. So Venkata Bhatta took Lord Chaitanya home, and his family members were there, including Gopal, oh, and his brother, Venkata Bhatta's brother, was Prabodhananda Saraswati, who's not so well known in our line, but he also became a Gaudiya Vaishnav and went and lived in Vrindavan and wrote some really outstanding and really intense books glorifying Vrindavan, glorifying Lord Chaitanya, and like that. So Prabodhananda Saraswati then is the uncle of Gopal, who becomes Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So when Lord Chaitanya arrived at their house, Venkata Bhatta washed his lotus feet. The water was distributed to the family members, and Chaitanya Charitamrita says the family members drank the water, the Charanamrita. And actually it was at that point that Venkata Bhatta appealed to Lord Chaitanya, would you be so kind as to please stay here with us during the Chaturmasya, the rainy season? Because as we know, it was the practice in the rainy season that the sannyasis, the mendicants, who during the rest of the year would wander around from holy place to holy place, during Chaturmasya, when it's traditionally at least really raining a lot, a year's worth of rain in 4 months, 3 to 4 months, that's normally how it would work, particularly in those days. So the sannyasis would not travel so much, and they'd find some place, usually some family householders, they could stay with for that time. and the householders would consider it an honor to have these advanced renunciates come and stay with them. They wouldn't feel it was a burden. Just recently we were with someone from Gauteng and Mpumalanga actually, who we stayed with when we were first raising funds to build Radharadnath Temple. A nice Hindu man. And when we arrived and asked if we could stay, he said, "Oh, of course, of course." Now, this is now almost 40 years ago. And when we last saw him, a couple of years ago, he told us that when we asked if we could stay, he thought, "Oh, no." And was hoping, he didn't want to refuse us because he was a leader amongst the Hindus there. But he asked us, for how long? So Lord Chaitanya remained at the house of Venkatabhata for 4 continuous months. And every day he would discuss about Krishna, and he would go and take his bath in the Kaveri River, and every day visit the temple of Ranganath. Kaveri is actually a bit of a walk from that place. I mean, gosh, it's a good half hour's walk at least. But he would go there, regularly at least, and visit the temple of Ranganath. He would normally visit the temple a few times a day for the different darshans. And he would chant and dance in ecstasy, and people would gather. Everyone learned that there's this amazing sannyasi. You know, we've never seen one like him. And he visits the temple regularly every day a few times, and then he just breaks into kirtan and dances in incredible ways. So the people, they came to know about this, and they would gather and witness Lord Chaitanya and his beauty. And in this way, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, their unhappiness and distress would just vanish. So many hundreds of thousands of people would come to see Lord Chaitanya. Many hundreds of thousands. He became just like a real prominent personality there. And they would join in chanting Hare Krishna with him. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, indeed, they did not chant anything other than the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra after seeing Lord Chaitanya. And they all became devotees of Radha and Krishna. And all the Vaishnav Brahmins of Sri Rangam would invite the Lord for lunch. And indeed, he had an invitation every day for 4 months. You know, 4 months, what's that? That's a third of a year. It's 120 days, something like that. Every day. Each day the Lord was invited by a different Brahmin. But some of the Brahmins did not get the opportunity to offer him lunch because the period of Chaturmasya came to an end. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya was there with Venkatabhata, and every day they would talk about Krishna, and their relationship became very close and friendly and intimate, and every day they would laugh and joke with each other. However, devotees, one day, Lord Chaitanya, in the course of just the regular exchanges they would be having, Lord Chaitanya raised a question. As if wanting to understand from some great Vaishnav an interesting point, but actually Lord Chaitanya wanted to help him to understand the higher truth, higher than Lakshmi Narayan. So Lord Chaitanya asked, your worshipable goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayan, and she's certainly the most chaste woman in the creation. However, my lord is Sri Krishna, a cowherd boy who's engaged in tending cows. Why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my lord, Krishna? So he's acting like he's puzzled. Why did she left Vaikuntha and she actually came down to Vrindavan? Why did she leave her husband to associate with this, you know, everybody knows, this very playful Krishna? And Lord Chaitanya quoted another Bhagavatam verse. Unfortunately, I didn't note the number in my notes here, but the verse says that, well, a couple of verses. Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha and for a long time accepted vows and regulative principles and performed unlimited austerities. That's Lord Chaitanya speaking. And now the Bhagavatam verse. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. Even the goddess of fortune, for this end, performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. Probably you know that Krishna, in his big encounter with Kaliya, in the end, Krishna danced on the heads of Kaliya and danced very, you could say, robustly. Sometimes we say, like someone doing Kathak dancing. And that we have Kathak dancers among us. But you know, you've seen they stamp their feet rapidly and strongly. That's what Krishna did. And just bashed Kaliya into practice, almost unconsciousness. So how did he get that mercy? That was the lotus feet of the Lord. That's mercy that even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are praying for. They find it difficult to get sometimes. He got so much just again and again and again on all his hands. So how did he get that mercy? Whereas Lakshmi, she performed austerities for centuries. Very austere program she followed. But still she never got to see the Lord. Lord Chaitanya is presenting as if he's puzzled. How could it be? And you and your great Vaishnava Venkata Bhatta Pujari in the biggest temple in India. So you're the right man for me to ask this question of. So Venkata Bhatta tries to give an answer. Well, I mean, he gives an answer. He tries to give a good answer. It's not that good. I mean, it's not bad in a certain sense, but it's definitely not like, you know, the essence of what it's all about. So he said that According to transcendental realization, there's no difference between the forms of Narayan and Krishna. Yet in Krishna, there's a special transcendental attraction due to conjugal mellow, and consequently he surpasses Narayan. This is the conclusion of transcendental mellows. So in other words, and Lord Chaitanya, I mean this is Venkatabhata rather, goes on trying to explain that it's not a lack of chastity, because Krishna is just another form of her husband. So it's not like she's associated dancing with another man. She's dancing with a husband in the special other form of his, which embodies the conjugal mellow, is very sportive and playful like that. So therefore she understood that her vow of chastity would not be broken by dancing with Krishna. Therefore she came down to dance in the rasa dance, but she couldn't enter. This is Lord Chaitanya's point. So therefore, if she wanted to enjoy with Krishna, what's the fault? Why are you joking so much about this? As Lord Chaitanya, he can see Lord Chaitanya's on his case. So Lord Chaitanya replies, I know there's no fault on the part of the goddess of fortune wanting to dance with Krishna, but my point is, why was she not able to enter the rasa dance when she wanted and she really tried? Please answer that. Venkatabhata has not answered that. He's not tried to answer that. And, yeah, so Lord Chaitanya asks, he quotes this verse. This is where he quotes the verse which we read about Lord Chaitanya dancing with the gopis. That favor was not granted to Lakshmi or other Vaikuntha consorts, wasn't even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, what to speak of ordinary girls on in this world, on this level, on this planet. So he quotes this verse. And then he asks, but can you tell me why the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not enter the rasa dance? And he mentions how the personified Vedas, they were able to enter, but Lakshmi was not able to. Why? Please explain. And Lord Chaitanya then quotes a verse in which it's pointed out how the personified Vedas, they did manage to enter the rasa dance and develop conjugal relationships with Lord Chaitanya. So what's the difference between the personified Vedas who wanted to enter, and then they became able to enter the rasa dance, and Lakshmi, who also wanted to enter and really tried to do what she thought was the right thing for entering, but wasn't able? What's the difference? What do you think? Well, we'll tell you. The difference was, the personified Vedas followed in the footsteps of the gopis. Whereas Lakshmi, she wanted to remain the big, important Lakshmi Devi, opulent and sitting on a throne. She was not willing to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, and specifically become a humble little village girl in Vrindavan, collecting the cow dung and cleaning the house every day and doing all these types of you know, very un-goddess of fortune-like duties. She's got a whole army of servants, you know, when it comes to cleaning or whatever, anything. So when Venkata Bhatta was asked why Lakshmi couldn't enter the residence, but the personified Vedas, they were able to, Venkata Bhatta replied, "I cannot enter into the mysteries of this behavior." Yes, interesting. "I am an ordinary human being. Since my intelligence is very limited and I'm easily agitated, my mind cannot enter within the deep ocean of the pastimes of the Lord." Then Venkata Bhatta says a very important, significant thing to Lord Chaitanya. He said, "You know, I cannot enter into this matter." He then says to Lord Chaitanya, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. You know the purpose of your activities, and the person whom you enlighten can also understand your pastimes." So then Lord Chaitanya gets into it. He starts to give, he goes into giving a fairly detailed explanation, actually. We won't go through everything in great detail, but we'll note a few points as we go. So Lord Chaitanya begins his clarification by saying, Lord Krishna has a specific characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. So, by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Vrajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, yes, Lord Chaitanya explains to Venkata Bhatta that they're in Vrajaloka or Goloka, Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. Someone accepts Krishna as a son and sometimes ties him up to a wooden grinding mortar. Someone else accepts him as an intimate friend and competes with him and sometimes defeats him, and then Krishna has to carry that devotee on his shoulders. That's something in some of these games. If someone beats you, you have to carry them on your shoulders for some time. And Krishna does this sometimes with some of the cowherd boys. The inhabitants of Vrajabhumi know Krishna as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the king of Vrajabhumi, and they consider that there can be no relationship with the Lord in the rasa of opulence. It's a very important point. As far as they're concerned, opulence has nothing to do with having a relationship with Krishna. The only thing which there is, which is involved in having a relationship with Krishna, is love. That's all. Pure love. So therefore, this is Lord Chaitanya continuing. One who worships the Lord by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi attains the Lord and gets to know him as he is known in the transcendental planet of Raja. There, he's known as the son of Maharaj Nanda. So Lord Chaitanya goes on explaining like this, and he explains that the personified Vedas, they did worship Krishna in the mood of the gopis. They followed in his in their footsteps. Therefore, they acquired bodies like the gopis. And then they took birth in Vrajabhumi. And then they were allowed to enter into the rasa dance. So like this, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, wanted to enjoy Krishna and at the same time retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi Devi. However, she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. So Lakshmi Devi was, you could say, spiritually attached. It's not like a material attachment where, you know, you're attached to opulence and wealth and you really are attached. And those things are more important to you than your relationship with Krishna. That's not the case with Lakshmi Devi. We shouldn't think she was just in ordinary Maya attached to her money, because she wasn't. But still, there was a type of attachment to a situation in opulence. And therefore she was not able to take up the role of being a gopi, a humble little gopi girl, a little village girl. Therefore, she couldn't enter the rasa dance. Therefore, she didn't enter the rasa dance. And therefore, to this day, I can confirm, because I was there, well, it's about 15 months ago at her place, and she still hasn't entered the rasa dance. We can confirm. We saw her. She's still there. It's in a place called Bailvan, which is across the Yamuna from Vrindavan. It's actually directly across. If you go up, like at the Madan Mohan temple, the old temple, there's the elevated, what's the place called anyway? Dwadasha Dityatil. And you get a view around, and you just look almost straight ahead. You're looking at Bailvan, the temple's just amongst the trees there. So, she wouldn't follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So in order to correct him, Lord Chaitanya spoke in a joking way. My dear Venkata Bhatta, please do not continue doubting. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this is the conclusion of Vedic literatures. Lord Narayan, the opulent form of Krishna, attracts the mind of the goddess of fortune and her followers. But Krishna is higher. And then Lord Chaitanya quoted Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, Ete chansa kalapum sa Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam Indrari vyakalam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He protects the world through his different features when the Lord is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. So then Lord Chaitanya goes into a description of how Krishna is different from Narayan. Higher, more attractive. Because Krishna, there are 64 qualities of the Lord, as described in Nectar of Devotion. 60 of them are possessed by Lord Narayan, not all 64. The extra 4 are only possessed by Lord Krishna himself alone. And they are, I won't ask you for, to tell us, should I ask you? Probably not. But the first is that Krishna has wonderful pastimes which are compared to an ocean. Well, you know, the pastimes of Lord Narayan, they're pretty good too. But they're not like the pastimes of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna are more beautiful, much more beautiful, and much more attractive. So that's difference number one. Or quality that Krishna has, number one, which Narayan doesn't have. Then number two, Krishna is surrounded by devotees who have a higher level of love for the Lord than the level of love for the Lord possessed by any other devotees. Any other devotees, including Lakshmi. Then number three, Krishna plays on the flute in the most amazing ways. And even though, yes, Lord Narayan can play a flute, he's a capable fellow, so he can play the flute, but not like Krishna plays the flute. No, no, no. That's number three. Number four, just in simple terms, Lord Krishna's incredible personal beauty. Yes. Which surpasses the beauty of all three worlds. It's unequaled and unsurpassed. So, like this, Lord Chaitanya has defeated. He has defeated Venkata Bhatta. But then, seeing that Venkata Bhatta is kind of disappointed, or, you know, he's accepting, but he hasn't really digested yet. So in order to perk him up, Lord Chaitanya says the following. Actually, according to transcendental realization, there's no difference between the forms of Krishna and Narayan. Yet, in Krishna, there's a special transcendental attraction due to the conjugal mellow, and consequently, he surpasses Narayan. This is the conclusion of transcendental mellows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead attracts the mind of the Goddess of Fortune, but Lord Narayan cannot attract the gopis. That's an interesting point, isn't it? And then Lord Chaitanya explains how actually there is a pastime from Vrindavan, from when Krishna was there 5,000 years ago, from a place called Paita, which you have mentioned before, Paita, pronunciation, in which Lord Narayan, When Krishna left the gopis in the spring rasa dance, which begins from Govardhan Hill, not the rasa dance described, in the Bhagavatam, that's the autumn rasa dance, like that. But the spring rasa dance starts over by Govardhan Hill at some distance away from Govardhan town. So when Lord Krishna was dancing with the gopis in that spring rasa dance near Govardhan Hill, at some point, just like in the Vrindavan rasa dance, he left the gopis. And the gopis were thrown into an ocean of separation. And Lord Narayan was watching from, you know, wherever, and he saw, and he thought, look at these poor gopis. See how Krishna's treating them. It's not nice. They're missing him so much. So Lord Narayan thought, actually, let me go down and hide two arms, and so I'll look like Krishna, two arms. I'll play on the flute. I can play the flute. And I'll sort of pacify the gopis. But they weren't pacified. They saw Lord Narayan like that. And momentarily they thought, wow, it's Krishna. But then because there are differences, the degree of beauty is not the same. Quite quickly they understood, wait a minute, this is not Krishna. This is Lord Narayan. And they came, they offered their obeisances and spoke to him very strongly. Om Namo Narayanaya. Please tell us, where is Krishna? And, you know, the impact of this on Lord Narayan was so much that his other two arms just popped out. He dropped the flute. And he started pointing in different directions with his four arms, saying, I think he went this way. But actually, Lord Chaitanya, that's a pastime, you know, which is there. Narayan actually trying to pacify the gopis. But Lord Chaitanya tells the story of when the same thing happened. He left the gopis in that same rasa dance. That Krishna manifested an extra two arms and made it seem like he was Lord Narayan. But the gopis, once Lord Krishna playfully manifested himself as Narayan, with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form, when the gopis saw this exalted form, however, their ecstatic feelings were crippled. Wow, that's powerful. A learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic parama rasa with Krishna constitute the greatest mystery in spiritual life. So then, seeing that Venkata Bhatta is just like, sort of like, you know, wow. Yeah, what on earth am I going through? I never heard this before. But understanding that it's true. So Lord Chaitanya said that, actually, there's no difference between Krishna and Narayan. Because they're the same form. Similarly, there's no difference between the gopis and the goddess of fortune, because they're also of the same form. The goddess of fortune enjoys the association of Krishna through the gopis. One should not differentiate between the forms of the Lord, for such a conception is offensive. Hare Krishna. But still there are differences. But you must not be offensive about it. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya says, when the jewel known as Vaidurya touches various other materials, it appears to be separated into different colors, and consequently its forms also appear differently. Similarly, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, the Lord, who's known as Achyuta, the infallible one, appears in different forms, although he is essentially one. So in other words, the Lord, the same Lord, is perceived differently by different devotees in terms of their attraction to him, their appreciation with him, their relationship with him. The same Lord appears differently to different devotees. So Venkata Bhatta then said, I'm an ordinary living entity, but you are Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Yeah. Out of your causeless mercy, you've told me of the glories of Lord Krishna. No one can reach the end of the opulence, qualities, and forms of the Lord. I can now understand that devotional service unto Lord Krishna is the supreme form of worship. Out of your causeless mercy, you've made my life successful simply by explaining the facts. Then Venkata Bhatta threw himself at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. Gopal surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. Gopal went to Vrindavan a bit later, became Gopal Bhatta Goswami, the brother Prabodhananda. He also became the devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and the rest is history. So, at the end of Chaturmasya, Lord Chaitanya took permission to leave from Venkata Bhatta, and then he headed towards South India. Venkata Bhatta did not want to return home, but also wanted to go with the Lord. It was with great endeavor that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade him farewell. When Lord Chaitanya did so, Venkata Bhatta fell down unconscious. Such are the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, at Sri Ranga Kshetra. Hare Krishna. There is one more pastime. We mentioned there's a pastime. It's in the middle of all of what we've been through. We'll tell you about that tomorrow night, when we finish the Keshav Kashmiri story. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Shri Gopanima Mahotsava ki. Gopriyanandi.